Visiting today with OSU's Seth Birtle. I guess we should start with congratulations. You are now the Beltwide Extension Cotton Specialist of the Year. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it was quite a surprise. Pretty humbling to, it's a big honor. I still can't really wrap my mind around it.
Well, so now that we're speaking, you know, with a celebrity, I guess every sort of information that you give us here on out is like word, right?
It's even more pressure. Yeah. They just dial the pressure up even more now. Yep.
Well, we've kicked off a new year. Let's talk a little bit, though, about the 2020 Harvest Acres Report. Kind of talk to us about some things that you saw out of that.
Yeah, so overall, I think 2020 was a good year. I think for a lot of the year, we were thinking it was going to be a great year. And I think some folks had a great year. I think there were some fields that were great. Overall, I think some of us were a little disappointed in maybe some of the irrigated cotton, both yield and quality. Dry land probably by and large did better than we thought, considering the summer we went through and some of the dry spells that we hit at pretty key times. I've talked to producers who had, you know, one field that maybe made the best that field's ever made, or one of the best yielding fields they've ever had. That'll be a few miles away from a field that is normally one of their better ones that kind of disappointed this year. So it was a real mixed bag. I think overall it was good. I think the disappointment comes from just our expectations being so high. But yields were okay. Quality was hit and miss. We've had some micronary issues, and it probably leads back to the September cold snap we had that sort of second week of September, but the ice storm in October turned out to be not as impactful as we feared. So I guess it could have been worse.
So how did that ice storm, speaking of, did you find that it really impacted more people in different places, or was it really just not that big of a deal because we needed the moisture?
Yeah, I think it was just, you know, when you think about ice on open cotton, it's a really scary thought because, you know, even a heavy rain, you can see a lot of lint falling out and stringing out of the bowls. And with the amount of ice that we got, especially just the visual appearance of the cotton, we got really worried that, you know, this ice is going to drag a lot of that lint out. And what's going to be a really good wide open crop is going to turn into sort of a disaster. So I think the fear was the actual physical loss of lint due to the ice, the weight of the ice. And whether it was we had some warmer temperatures ahead of the storm, or, you know, we just had really favorable conditions to get the ice gone afterwards, we saw a lot of lint strung out, and it was certainly variety dependent on how severe the string out was. The fallout issue, which is the lint actually falling out of the bowls, wasn't nearly as bad as we feared it would be, and that was also variety dependent. So I think it was just, we just got lucky. You know, it could have been a lot worse than it was, but we got really lucky.
Do you find people around the state of Oklahoma are planting more acres or less acres looking forward to 2021?
So we've been asked that a few times, looking at projections, and my answer has been, I think we'll probably plant a little bit less. I don't see us having a big drop off. And I think that what we're probably going to see is some of the folks that maybe got into cotton in the last, you know, 3 to 4 years, they're sort of new to it, may take some acres out and plant to maybe some crops that maybe they're more familiar with now that the markets look a little favorable for multiple crops. So they may not see cotton just out of their, you know, rotation altogether, but it may take a drop in their percent of acres. But I think the stability is going to come from our sort of established traditional acres and growers. You know, there's a lot of people in Oklahoma who consider themselves a cotton producer first. And a lot of those folks have expanded their acres in the last few years. And I think that's where we're going to see some of the stability. So, you know, I don't think we're going to be over 600,000 by any means. My personal guess has been sort of somewhere between 520 and 560. For our acreage in 2021, but we'll see. You never know what can happen, you know, between now and May. So, you know, it can always change.
What are you hearing for prices?
There's some optimism. You know, I'm not an economist. I try to follow several economists across the belt that, you know, really look ahead to market prices. There's some optimism. Anytime you're talking about, you know, mid 70s, folks are going to be fairly happy with that. There's been some talk, and I don't know how solid it is, but there's been discussions about 80 cent, you know, that range. And so that's always nice to hear. But it sounds like there's some potential stability coming out, and that's always good. You know, we've gone into several seasons recently where, you know, 70 cent flat would be, you know, outstanding. And so to be out of those, that territory, and to be kind of more into a mid 70s range at this point in the year is probably brings a little bit of comfort to folks that are going to be dedicating a lot of acres of cotton, regardless of price.
Well, so looking ahead for 2021, we're in a new year. What are some, like a checklist of items for field prep and planting that producers should be doing?
Yeah, you know, I mean, this point in the year, you're hopefully most of your cotton's out, you know, so you can always see some problem spots during harvest. You know, if you had areas of standing water or low spots or high spots, you know, we didn't have a real bad harvest season. We didn't have those big heavy rains that sometimes can cause a lot of problems. So that was nice. Of course, it depends on a lot of your, you know, specific inputs as to what you may be doing in the next few months. You know, if you're somebody who likes to incorporate yellows, and that's going to be coming up likely in March. You know, a lot of it is also moisture dependent too. If we have a drier winter, it may, you know, hamper or delay some of that off-season prep work we're doing. And you look back at a year, I can't remember now if it was, I guess it was 18, where we had some issues with volunteer because we had such a dry winter and spring. So that's kind of the things you know to think about. If we're in dry conditions and you know there's probably going to be some weeds present, and there may be some volunteer cotton that's going to be an issue. And so you can, you know, sort of plan for that as far as your chemistries you're going to be using early season. And if we get some moisture and we can do some field prep work or, you know, some yellow work, so put some residuals down, then, you know, we can be ready to pull that trigger as well.
Is there any new varieties or pesticides or chemicals or tools that you're excited about for the upcoming year?
You know, there's always a new flush of varieties every year. And cotton is a challenge to keep up with because we do have so much turnover. You know, I'm always kind of jealous of folks that are in crops that you have a variety that's around for 10 years. You know, if we have a variety around for 2 years, it's almost like it's old just because the market turns over so fast. So, you know, getting a look at variety performance from these new varieties and how they, you know, performed in some of our trials in Oklahoma in the last couple of years will be in key for us in the off season to look at and help folks sort of have some decision-making tools. As far as anything beyond varieties, I think traits are becoming more and more important, and we're seeing more with things that are incorporated into the variety that are addressing issues like nematodes, like diseases. And that'll be important to address some specific issues folks have. And, you know, whether it's a root knot nematode or a reniform nematode field, which luckily in Oklahoma, those are very minimal, if at all existent. But other diseases, verticillium, bacterial blight that have been a problem in the past that we can address through varieties, that's becoming more of an option now. And so that helps.
Well, Seth, thank you so much for visiting with us today. Congratulations on your Cotton Specialist of the Year award. That's always an awesome thing. I know you're in really good company with that award.
Yeah, way better company than I deserve. So I'm hoping one day to earn that spot, but it's a huge honor for now. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I could ask you, what's harder between being the Cotton Specialist of the Year and having a new baby?
Oh baby. Yep. Yep.
The baby always wins.
Yeah, I can take care
of
cotton way better than I can take care of a human. That's for sure.
I always felt the same. I was like, are you really going to send me home with these children? I don't know that I'm qualified.
I can't disappoint Cotton, but I probably can disappoint my daughter in a heartbeat.
Well, Seth, thank you so
much. Thank you.